So we are continuing our Easter sermon series this year on our core beliefs, as I've been drawing you to our website each week to let you know. Our core beliefs are on our website. If you just go to the About Us page and you click the, you go down through the menus there. And they're distracted back there. There we go. And you click down through the menus, we get to our core beliefs, you pop up to this page. And if you scroll down, it's the next page. Click, click, click. There we go. Awesome. And you get to what we talked about last week with the Bible. And then today we're talking about man and eternity. So you can look at those core beliefs on our webpage. And they're a very brief version of our core beliefs. And through this series, I'm expanding a little, quite a bit. I'm giving you plenty of scriptures each Sunday to aid you in your personal studies on these core beliefs. So I have been encouraging you every week to engage and invest, to take time on your own to examine these core beliefs, because they're not just core beliefs that you have because your church has them on their website or because your preacher says they're important. They're core beliefs that you have because you are a Christian. And if you're a Christian, you should know why you believe what you believe. You should be able to give an answer for the hope that you have, especially on the foundational elements that we're talking about in this series. If you are still sorting out what you believe about the Bible, what you believe about Jesus or salvation, we'll be talking about that next week, then this is a great series for you. You are in the right place because there's going to be a lot to think about. There's going to be a lot of scriptures to help you in your personal journey. So you'll be able to do some looking into this beyond a Sunday morning and go to the source. That's God's word. It's not some preacher standing up here, whoever is up here. The source is always God's word. Amen. And so I want to encourage you guys. I want to draw you to God's word. If I can do that, then I'm being successful because God's word will draw you to God. And that is, of course, the ultimate goal. So yesterday my son asked me, Isaiah, my oldest, he said, Dad, are you, they always get a little nervous when I start mentioning names. They'll sit up a little more. What's he going to tell? So he asked me, he said, Dad, are you as excited this week as you were last week about the sermon? And I said, I can't afford to be. I said, I have to draw my excitement back a little bit because I got excited last week and the things that I threw out to keep it short got put back in. Thanks for sticking with me last week. I'm very happy with the content of last week, but that should have been two sermons. So, and I did not have the discernment in the moment to cut when I squished that spider. I think the spider might have been a messenger from God because that was right about that halfway point. And he was coming up here. It's like, and I was like, so anyway. So, but if you missed it, all of our sermons are up online. Our website you just saw on the screen there in your bulletins, miamitowncc.com. All the sermons are there. Our worship services are there, and they're separated out, so you can go and listen to each separately. So you don't have to, you know, if you're going for just a sermon, you don't have to fast forward. Or if you're going just for the worship, then it's there in its own little entity as well. So it was long last week. However, now it lives on the internet forever, and it is a solid overview of a number of things about our Bible that we talked about, how it came to be, why we don't have extra books in our Bible that some churches have in their Bibles, how the Bible's organized. We even had a guide to different versions of the Bible that I shared with you, and that's just a few things that we covered last week. Speaking of Bible versions, when I was sharing with you about that list of Bible versions, and I said, all of these versions I use and have used in my personal study, except for one. And I told you I came across the English Standard Version, and I've been poking around with it, and I've been quite impressed. I think it stands up to the reviews and the bragging that people make on it. If you can, is that all right? Can you brag on a Bible version? Is that against the rules? We don't want to be braggarts. So this week, as I was building the sermon and I was working through it, I will copy paste scripture into my manuscript. And this week we have a lot of scripture in the manuscript. But I got towards the end and I realized, oh, I copied and pasted all from the English Standard Version. So that's what we're going to have up on the screen. So if you're reading from the NIV, I had the all three of them up, NIV, NASB, and the English Standard Version. So I was comparing them, and it's a nice middle of the road. So those of you guys who use the NIV, you're not going to see a huge difference. And those of you guys who use NAS, you're not going to see a huge difference either. So this might be a good version to move to, because I know those are two very popular versions that people use in their own study Bibles. So that's that. All the paperwork done. 5 minutes. Boom. All right. So today we're talking about mankind and eternity. And we'll just jump right in. We're gonna hit just a bunch of these different points pretty quick. And as I said, I have a lot of scripture. So it's going to be quite a bit of scripture speaking for itself. There's going to be some times where I'll step in. But really, I'm wanting to connect you guys. Here's a truth. Here's where it is in scripture. So the first one is that we are purposefully made, that we are made in God's image. We are purposefully made. We find this in the very first chapter, the very first book of our Bibles. Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So the Lord created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Let me remind you, church, that no other being in all of God's creation has this distinction attached to it. No other being was created in God's image. Only humans. And very specifically stated, both male and female have been made in his image. And so male and female, they share equal standing because they're made in God's image. Two genders, these two genders are distinctly different. Oh my goodness, we can get sidetracked there. You know, that's right here, first book of the first chapter of the Bible. Two genders. In the midst of all this gender mess, I shouldn't have to say anything about that, but there's male and there's female. That's how God made them. And they're both in God's image. You shouldn't be ashamed of either one. Both are made in God's own likeness. We are image bearers. Both men and women. And men and women, they're very different. We know this. Golly, all this confusion, it just doesn't make sense. We're very different, and we have very different roles. But that doesn't mean that we have different values. And I think that's actually what started this whole mess years and years and years ago. We equated different roles and different characteristics to different value. And we had some people, you know, that the feminist movement saying, "No, we want the same value as men." So they started acting like men, which didn't make sense because it's a feminist movement. They should start acting like women. But really, the feminist movement, they want to act like men, and that doesn't make. And then I think that really started, if you walk back and you walk through it, that kind of started where we're at with all this mess and confusion. And I think we have some responsibility in being able to share that. And I'm not an egalitarian by the definition of the word. I am an egalitarian when it comes to the value of humans before God. Amen? Male and female, they're made, and they are equal before God. They are both image bearers. It's not that God made Adam as an image bearer and just Eve was just, you know, extra. Another one of the, you know, animals in God's. No, male and female. God is very specific in that scripture we just read. We need to remember that. There are different roles, there are different characteristics, there are different distinctions between the genders, between the sexes, and I use those two words as the same. But they are equal as image bearers. This is also true for nationalities and races. Man, let me get on some soapboxes here. Social, economic classes, all humans. Listen, let me remind you of what God's holy word says. All humans are image bearers of the Lord God Almighty, period. There's no room for sexism. for those who correctly understand the Bible. If you're using the NIV or the NASB or the ESV. There's no room for racism for those who correctly understand the Bible. There's no room for economic discrimination. There's no room to favor someone based on a certain social class. And you guys know that those subjects have been soapboxes for me for long before they were in the media with riots and all the mess we've seen recently. God sets the stage for this in the very first chapter of the Bible, in his explanation of where humans come from, what value humans have innately. Before we even get to the cross and the gospel story, humans are image bearers of God, all of them. We are purposefully made. No other being in all creation has received this honor of being made in God's likeness, in God's image. Another topic that this understanding addresses is that humans were created. We did not evolve. Very clearly in Genesis chapter 1, just as we read, and he goes into a little detail in chapter 2, humans were created. We did not evolve. Male and female, he made them. Genesis chapter 2, and the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. So not only are we purposefully made, but we are made with purpose. Let's write that down. We're purposefully made, but we are made with purpose. To fill the earth and tend to it is one of those purposes. We just read that in Genesis chapter 1. Let me remind you of one of the verses we just read in verse 28. It says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Be fruitful and multiply. Our church family has been pretty active in this area lately. I don't think I'm missing. We have 4 pregnancies. I miscounted a few weeks ago. I want to make sure I'm not leaving anybody out. So yeah, we have 4 pregnancies. It's just awesome. 4 little babies on the way. And keep praying for these 4 pregnancies in our church, because each of those 4, they have their own challenges going on with them. There's not a one of these that is a simple pregnancy or that came without any kind of history or whatnot. And I'm not giving too much information away that's personal, but keep praying for all 4 of these. So let me make a plug based on that. We're going to need staffing in our nursery again. We are. I mean, these people are just doing their God-given duty of filling the earth. We don't want to go against people that are obeying God's word. Our summer schedules will be out next month for June, July, and August. It'd be nice if you started, if we got into a rotation. It's nice if you show up and you sign up for the nursery and you're down there and we don't have any kids for the nursery, then you just come up a few minutes late. A lot of you guys are a few minutes late anyways. So, you know, it's not going to hurt you. But what a great thing if a guest comes in with a child and we've got a staff nursery just waiting for them, instead of having to go and find somebody, hold on, let me find someone. Or someone who I believe is Brian down there? Okay. So Tara's down there again, I assume, because she's not up here. And I use the word again. Okay, Tara is leading our, and she's downstairs, so she can probably hear me. So Tara, I'm bragging on you. She's leading our nursery ministry, and she's also leading our communion prep ministry. Okay, if you want to keep her leading those, you need to make sure she's not doing them. Does that make sense? Okay, because you'll burn out. I've seen it. Many people, a lot of you guys have experienced it. She's young. She's doing what you'd love to see. A young person stepping up and taking, you know, leadership roles. Let her lead. Don't make her do it and lead it. Okay? Heard? All right. So we got babies coming. We're going to need nursery. Pray about that. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and serve down there. It's if we get enough people, it won't be as burdensome. I know my wife served down, 12, 13 years after our boys, or when our boys were born and down there, and she survived it. So, but they were on a 1 month rotation. So every month, everyone that was in that rotation, Walt and Madeline were down there as well. And then Terry was down there. Another, who was our, we had a fourth, I'm leaving somebody out, someone back there, right? Was it Clara? Was it you guys? Yes, you're the fourth? Okay, so those were our four teams. And we don't ever want to have an individual down there. We want to have teams. That's the goal. So guess what? If we have eight teams, the math on that means you'd only have to serve one time every other month. So more hands make the labor easy. And if we have children in our church, we know they're coming. We can prepare for this. We don't need to get to four babies in our church. And they bring them to church, and then all of a sudden we're going, oh no, we need nursery. And let's go on. And that needs to happen anyway. We're post COVID. We're done with that. Amen. Let's get these things rolling again. Another thing too. Let me do another plug too. We have got families that are coming, which is awesome. It's what we want to have. And when you have a family come with young children, and there is one child downstairs in our children's area, that's, they want to go somewhere where their children are going to experience church with other children, not with another child. So we had seven a couple weeks ago, nine last week. Do we know how many this week? Did you get a count? At least five or six down there. Okay. That's much better than one. And the thing with those things, it's like that snowball, it just, as it keeps rolling, it keeps picking things up. So, and that's another area where the children's ministry can only be successful with volunteers. They need volunteers as well. So either of those two areas, if you'd like to jump in and serve there, then please do so. So a little shameless plug for our children's ministry. Well, the prayer for the pregnant families, for sure. That's not shameless at all. We have to support those who are doing the work of the Lord. Amen. Filling the earth. So we do need nursery workers coming up. So in addition to filling the earth, we are also tasked with tending to it or caring for it. The Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and keep it, is what the ESV says. The NIV says to care for it. The NASB says to tend it. All have the same basic idea that we were made with a physical purpose, not only to fill the earth, but to tend it, to care for it, to keep it. We have been entrusted with the planet. And so God's people, out of all the people, we should be the ones most concerned with taking care of what we're surrounded by. And so we should be leading out in that. That's our physical task. When we look at why humans were put here, we were put here on a physical level to fill the earth and to take care of it. Now, we have a much bigger purpose than either of those, and that is to have a relationship with God. That is to have a relationship with God. And this is the story of the whole Bible. It's what we talked about last week. It's the story of the whole Bible, that God desires a relationship with us, and he devised a plan to make that possible. Ephesians chapter 1, I refer to this passage often. Let me read it to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Catch that. He chose us before the foundation of the world, before the world even existed, before we existed, before sin was in the world. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. The gospel story was pre-world. It was God's plan before anything ever existed. According to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. And Jesus was asked, what's the greatest command, or what's the great command? Jesus answered, to be in a relationship with the Father. Isn't that what he answered? He words it a little differently. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. We were made to have a relationship with God. We were also made to worship God. We were made to worship God. Very simple place to go for this. The Big Ten. Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. God says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. God doesn't want us to worship anything else, only him. We were made to worship him. We were purposefully made in God's image. No other being in all God's creation has that distinction attached to it. Humans were created, we did not evolve, and we were made with purpose to fill the earth, to tend to the earth, to have a relationship with God, to worship God, and we are also made on purpose. Let's write that down. Humans are made on purpose. God forms every human in the womb. We're going to a lot of, cliche seems like a bad word to use, but popular verses today. You'll recognize a handful of these. And with talking about humans and human life, I can't help but go to Psalm 139. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. I heard a preacher say that some are more wonderfully and some are more fearfully. But both parts are there. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God says this to the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So it even goes back before the womb. But that's there as well. I formed you in the womb. Before that happened, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, of course, that latter part of that verse is specific to Jeremiah. That doesn't apply to all of mankind. Jeremiah had a specific plan attached to him. But the understanding that the psalmist brings and that's revealed through Jeremiah and other places in the Bible is that God forms every human. That's pretty awesome to think about that. You know, these four pregnancies that we have here in our church, God's hands are at work there, creating that individual, giving that person all the different things that he wants them to have. And he did that for every one of us. Regardless of what your background was, regardless of what caused the pregnancy, God is forming that person in the womb. As soon as conception happens, God's hands are there, moving and forming and making a unique person every time. How cool is that? And I believe we're all made with purpose for in that understanding of things, that as he's molding us and making us, let's get a little bit of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Yeah, his sermons might be long, but man, they'll be good. You know, a lot of little bitty things. And it's every one of us. I believe every one of us were made with a purpose, engineered before we were even formed. God said, I've got a plan for this person, and I'm gonna set them up to fill this plan. And we fast forward, we'll talk about a little bit of this next week, whatever we have time for, but next week's on salvation. Then after we become a Christian, then that opens up even more. Not only do we use their natural abilities and gifts, the natural makeup of how we're wired and our personality and all that, but in addition to that, we get the Holy Spirit, which comes along with charismatic gifts, grace-given gifts, to be able to accomplish great things for God and for his kingdom. And that starts all the way back in the womb. You were made with purpose. You were made on purpose. Purposefully made. I mean, that's why Christians are pro-life, because we understand. We understand how purposefully we have been made. We understand that we've been made on purpose, and we've been made with purpose. I'm going to have to file that away. That'd be a good sanctity of human life sermon, those 3 points. With this, we can be assured that God loves and values all people. We talk about famous scriptures. Here's the most famous one of them all. John 3:16, for God loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We read the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10 about how we are more valuable than sparrows. And in Matthew chapter 6 about how God cares for the birds. How much more valuable are we to him than they are? God made us and God loves us and God values us. We were made for a relationship with him, but our sin prevents us from having a relationship with him. And that's another truth that we have to understand when we're looking at a biblical view of mankind, is that mankind is sinful. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. These next few points, we're just going to scripture point, scripture point, scripture point. So get ready to write quick. So all humans have sinned and continually fall themselves short of God's glory. The verb there is a middle tense verb. Active means you're doing it. Passive means it's being done to you. In the Greek, they had a middle tense, which was actually called the middle tense, pretty creatively called there. And it's a combination of the two. You are actively doing something to yourself. That's this verb. Sinned. All have sinned. And so we continually fall ourselves short of God's glory. That is the truth of all humans. Matthew 25, verse 46. One of the many verses in the Bible that covers this topic. He says about the sheep and the goats, these will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So let's write this down. Human souls will exist eternally. Our souls were made eternal. They're going to spend eternity in one of two places, either with God or in hell. That's a truth about humanity. That is a biblical truth. You guys can go back a few weeks. It was another doozy. But the heaven and hell sermon, it was thick. But it was a pretty exhaustive understanding of heaven and hell. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's write this down. Our inability to live without sin means that we have earned death, and without intervention, we will spend eternity separate from God in hell. That is the truth about humanity. And don't divorce these things that we're talking about. The top of your notes, all that's true. We were made with purpose, on purpose. We're image bearers of God. We're formed in the womb. God loves and values all humans. But then we've got this thing called sin, this rebellion against God that separates us from him. Hebrews 9:27 says, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgments. So all humans will physically die and face judgment. That is a fact about mankind. That is a fact about humans. All humans will physically die and face judgment. Today's tough because we're just talking about humanity, mankind, and just a little bit about the understanding of eternity, that we are made for eternity, and that's going to be one of the other two places, with God or in hell. Next week, we're talking about salvation. I was wise enough to split these sermons into two, so you're welcome. But since I'm saving that for next week, I did want a little section here on just understanding what a redeemed human looks like, to kind of give us a little glimpse into what next week looks like. Because God did offer redemption for mankind through his son Jesus. Through the gospel story, we learn about that we have been offered salvation to solve our sin separation problem and to change our eternity from the eternity we've earned, which is in hell, to the eternity that we've been gifted, because the gift of God is eternal life. So just a few quick notes on redeemed humans. I'm not going to read scriptures here. You have scriptures there in your Bible. I want to encourage you to give you some homework on these three. Go and read these. Man, they're great. If you're a saved person, if you've been born again, whatever terminology, if you've found salvation, if you've been baptized into Christ Jesus our Lord, whatever terminology you understand there, if you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, read these verses this week and be encouraged by them. Because this is what a redeemed human looks like. And if you haven't yet done that, I guess I was mixing a command with a... But if you haven't yet, read these verses also. And read what you could be. Because it's awesome. Redeemed humans... they are made new in Christ Jesus as God's workmanship made for good works. That's great. Come up out of the water and you're brand new. I love that look. When Ben came up out of the water, cold water, the look on his face wasn't about the water. It was about a relationship with God. It was about the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of him. And it was about him being forgiven of his sins. And he was made new. Redeemed humans are considered God's children. It's awesome. Jesus says, when you pray, pray Father. We're told the Holy Spirit inside of us cries out and confirms that we are God's children. It cries out in the way a toddler would refer to their father. Not father, but the word Abba means dada, daddy. Very intimate. That same passage here in Romans 8 talks about how we are co-heirs with Christ. You talk about all this discrimination that we have between men and women and nationalities and race and all that. You just take all that and you say, okay, all redeemed humans get equal portion of what Jesus gets as the Son of God. That's pretty cool. So where there's no room for it in mankind, there's definitely no room for it in the church. We are redeemed and we are all co-heirs with Christ according to Scripture. As God's children. Redeemed humans house God's Holy Spirit. He is a helper and our guarantee of eternal life with God. We talked about him a few weeks ago. He had his own sermon. So if you missed that, that is online as well. So the notes section is done. So I know a lot of you guys like to fold things up. So try to do that quietly. I'd prefer to just wait, you know. But, you know, we were just talking about that yesterday. We had a Taekwondo test, and I was like, man, I wish I could have that authority in here and say something. You just be, sir. And anyway, in our preaching team meeting, this subject brought up a lot of different questions. So I just want to touch on a couple of those real quick. We just got a minute or two that I want to share that. One of the things that brought up, we were talking about eternity, and the subject of angels came up. what about angels? You know, some people, and this is no joke, some people believe that when we die, we turn into angels. And I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to blow up your whole thing, but we do not. You're not going to get wings when you go to heaven. There's no wings and halo that's passed out at the gate. We are totally different beings from angels, which is really cool. Angels, they carry out God's will, sometimes through action. We see them a lot of times as messengers in God's word. Revelation distinctively shows humans and angels in the same picture. So we have that understanding that we are different creatures, and we will exist together as these separate entities. Angels are nearly always met with fear and trembling because they are beings of power and authority, which is, man, we're going to be able to hang out with those guys. That's going to be cool too. There are apparently different ranks of angels. Jude mentions how Michael is an archangel. So they've got some ranking system, some sort of order there among their powers and authorities. And the Bible talks about powers and authorities in the spiritual realm in both the positive and in the negative, which leads to a little bit of an answer of another question we're going to look at. We know in the Old Testament there are cherubim and there are seraphim, and these appear to be different than the angels we see that carry some of the messages, because the angels that appear as messengers, they appear more human-like. They're mistaken as humans often until they realize they're angels, and they're like, oh! So, but the seraphim and the cherubim, they're described very differently, and they definitely are not human. They definitely do not, they would not get mistaken as humans at all. Unless, you know, you've ever seen a human with multiple pairs of wings and eyes all over them. So the topic of angels brought up the topic of Satan. And where did he come from? And was he a fallen angel? And this is, when I was talking to the preaching team, I was like, you know, there's a lot of people have different beliefs on this. But there's, like, if you looked at a puzzle and things like, you know, baptism and salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit, I can look at Scripture and I have a complete puzzle. And it is complete and clear and very easy to understand. There's not a missing puzzle piece at all in that. But the subject of where Satan came from or who he was prior to his fall, there's a piece here and there's a piece here and there's a piece here. And there's a lot of guesswork that happens trying to connect those different pieces. Some of those pieces might not even be pieces to the mystery. So though I can't say with biblical certainty the way I can on a lot of other subjects, the notes in your bulletin, those are biblically certain notes. Everything in your bulletin, that is God's truth on those subjects. But I can't say for certain. But the origin of Satan does appear that he would have been a fallen angel, and that the demons are angels that fell with him, that went with him. And we do know that there is some talk about fallen angels. There was something I mentioned earlier that was going to come back and pop into that. Oh, well, that's gone then. It was in my brain. Another subject that came up was, why in the world was there a tree that we couldn't eat from? Like, that would have solved a lot of problems. My team gave me some real doozy questions around these subjects here. We read scripture earlier today that talked about how the gospel of Jesus was planned before the creation of the world. That God had already said, this is how I want to reveal my love to them. And we talked about that in the Easter sermon. Man, if you didn't get the Easter sermon, these sermons on these, I mean, they're thick and they've got some oomph to them. You know, this morning I pulled back a little bit and just, okay. But there's a lot of stuff in these core belief sermons. And so I encourage you, go back, re-listen to them. If you missed any of them, go back and listen to them. The Easter sermon, we talked about two big questions around Jesus and looked at some different arguments associated with those, some pretty strong arguments. And one of the things of why did Jesus have to die, one of the strongest arguments I understand on that is that God wanted to show us how much we mattered to him, that he loved us this much. And you can't say that. But when you show it through Jesus on the cross, then it's like, wow, you really do love us. And that's tough to kind of take all that and say, well, this tree and, you know, was God setting this up? I don't take it there, but already covered today. We were made for a relationship with God. You can't have a relationship with someone if it's not a choice. That's not a relationship. There's another word for that. You know, we're doing away with that word in our, you know. But we're made for a relationship. And for the possibility of a relationship to be there, you'd have to have the possibility to stay or walk away. And so that tree was important for that decision to be able to be there. So I think all those factors really come into that. I don't fully, and I'm not going to stand here and say I got it, you know, 100%. But I think when we look at little parts of those things, it does make sense. That for things to play out and work out the way that they have in God's genius plan of the gospel, some of these parts had to be involved. Well, that was most questions. If you guys have any questions on any of these subjects that we've been talking about, feel free to send them in. Send me a text, send me an email, whatever. Maybe we can, you know, have a little section there where I can go back and check on something. If you've got a question on something Holy Spirit oriented, and if you present a question, it might be something that other people would have that very, very same question, and they just haven't had the courage to ask it or felt like it was important. So I want to let you guys know that door is open. I'm learning too. I love it. That's why I was so excited about last week. I had some new things to bring to you. And so we're all growing, we're learning together. So mankind, eternity, in your notes, you have solid, solid biblical notes on that. What we're made for, that's a great thing. Our condition outside of Christ, there's truth there, and we have to realize that before we realize the need to be saved. And then that little picture of what a redeemed human looks like is so cool. So next week, we get a chance to get a piece, a very big, important piece that fits in here, and that's salvation. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for all that you give to us in Scripture, how you've revealed yourself to us, your son Jesus, how you revealed to us not just our purpose here on earth, but that we were made in our mother's wombs by you, by your hands, that we were made on purpose. Father, we get a chance to bear your likeness, your image, every one of us. And not just us, but every person we look at, even if they just annoy the mess out of us, they're made in your image. And you sent your son to die for them because you loved them. Father, I pray that as we reflect on this subject today, and hopefully we'll be digging into the scriptures that you've given to us on these subjects, that it would bring about a gratefulness to those who have been saved, a reminder of what we've been saved from, the condition of mankind outside of Christ. For those that have not yet made that decision, Father, you would be speaking to them through your word, through your Holy Spirit, speaking to them outside, so that hopefully one day he'll be speaking to them from the inside. Thank you so very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's love is unconditional. He loves everyone. The gift of salvation is not unconditional. It's not something to earn. It's given out of grace. But it's definitely something that has conditional response to it. God says, I love you, I value you, I want you to be my child, I want you to call me Father. But in order to do that, that means following Christ. That means following Christ's example. We talked about that a little bit in the Easter sermon, that, you know, Jesus came so that God could take our hand and show us how to write. Here's what it looks like to surrender. Here's what it looks like to lay yourself down. Here's what it looks like to say nothing else matters but following God and following God's plan. And we follow Jesus. Romans 6 talks about how when we're baptized into Christ Jesus, we die with him and we raise with him. We are connected to the gospel story in baptism. And this morning, if you're listening to this and you're hearing all this, and man, let me assure you, God loves you. He values you. You are made in his image. All of that exists whether you accept Christ or not. Those are truths about mankind. But the truth also is that without Christ, your eternal soul will not live with God forever. It will burn in hell forever. And that's not a scare tactic. That's truth. And truth is scary, but I'm not using it as a tactic. I'm just sharing with you truth because I love you and I don't want anyone to ever experience that. So if you're here this morning and you understand these different pieces, we want to offer an invitation for you to come forward this morning. To say, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he is God's son. I believe that he died on the cross. I believe that he rose from the dead on the third day. And I want to follow that. I want to die to myself. I want to be raised anew as a new creation to house the Holy Spirit. I want to do that today. If you want to do that today, we invite you to come forward during this next song.